Please stand if you're able and face the back of the church for our confession and forgiveness printed in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the parent who rouses us from slumber, the shepherd who gathers us on the holy mountain, the deliverer who sets us free.
Amen.
Let us come before the living God in confession as we wait and watch for the promised day of salvation. We open our hearts to you, O God. Search us and know us. Reveal all that we keep inside. To you, O God, we confess our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in your ways of justice and peace. Make us reflections of the radiant love of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved children of the Most High, you are gathered before the righteous Judge who has mercy on all. Splash us exuberantly in the waters of baptism, where sin is washed away in the river of life. Dwell peacefully in the loving arms of the one who nurtures all creation. Go forth boldly in the assurance that your sins are forgiven, in the name of the one who is coming and is already here, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. With your abundant grace and might, free us from the sin that hinders our faith, that eagerly we may receive your promises. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there's any other children here today, you can also come forward if you'd like. Today, I want to learn from memory the third verse of Away in a Manger. And the reason I'm going to have you do the third verse is because it's a beautiful prayer. And for the purists that don't think we should have Christmas songs before, it says nothing about Christmas. It says just this beautiful prayer about asking Jesus in our hearts. And so the prayer goes like this. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Why don't you repeat? Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever. Close by me forever. And with me I pray. Bless all the dear children. In your tender care. and take them to heaven,
but
to be with thee there. With you there. Okay. So let's sing to that carol, Chris, Away in a Manger. That song starts off, "Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay.
Close
by me forever, and love me. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care,
and take
them to heaven to live with thee there."
Okay, without prompting, and hold your hands and bow your heads and pray this prayer. Everyone, it's such a beautiful prayer. We need to pray it all the time.
Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
Ooh, isn't that beautiful? So pretty. Yeah, so pretty. What's that?
I know that verse.
You know that verse, huh? I didn't have to teach it to you, huh? You know, it's not surprising to me that you know that verse. Okay, fold your hands, bow your heads. Let's pray this prayer. Pray it back with me.
Dear Jesus,
we thank you for this season,
preparing for your Advent.
Help us, Lord, to know your presence in each of our lives and in our family and in our church. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you for coming up.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white,
they are righteous in his sight.
Jesus loves the little children of the world.
First reading is from Isaiah. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz says, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you, weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse evil and choose good. For before the child knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land before whose two kings you are in dread will be deserted." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be
to God. I'm going to say Psalm 80 responsively. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock, shine forth that you are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved. And so will we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved.
Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Romans, the first chapter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be son of God, with power according to the spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles, for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome, who called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, you have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. There are four Gospels in the Bible. Gospel meaning the explanation or the account of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Only two of those Gospels have birth stories, and that's Matthew and Luke. Matthew, our lesson for today. The book of John begins in a cosmic way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And I say the only birth story that you can find in John is where John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's it. That's Christmas for John. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just a few words. The book of Mark, on the other hand, it begins with John the Baptist. And Jesus is already 30 years old. And so it's kind of special to know that there's these two birth stories, and all of Christmas depends on those two accounts. One was our lesson for today, and one is one I'll explain to you. The difference between the two is very decisive, and yet at the same time, they're very similar. On the one account, Matthew's account, it's told through the eyes of Joseph. The Luke account is told through the eyes of Mary. And that distinction is really clear. But the substance of the birth story is the same in both. It's what I have called a confirmation of the Spirit. And that is where two very independent sources have circumstances or have revelations or understandings that are the same, but they don't know they're the same until they come together. And that's what happens in these two birth stories. In Matthew's account, we have Joseph, who already realizes that Mary is pregnant, and he decides he's going to, quote, divorce her, even though they're just engaged. And that is a cultural difference. For the people of Jesus' time, the engagement is just as binding as the marriage. And so when the Bible says that he decided to divorce her quietly, it meant the engagement, according to Matthew. And he did so want to do it quietly because, I mean, you can imagine what people might say or do if, in fact, they thought that Mary was pregnant with a baby that was not Joseph's. In fact, she could have been accused of adultery and stoned to death as a result. So Joseph, being a just man, decides to divorce her quietly. But then an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream. And that angel says that he should not be afraid because to take Mary as his wife is God's plan. And the plan is that this child to be born is to be holy. And he's going to be someone that you're supposed to call Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. And he is going to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that a virgin shall give birth to a child, and you shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So that's Joseph's experience, very independent of Mary's experience. And Mary's experience in Luke's gospel is that Mary has not a dream of an angel, but a vision of an angel. And the difference being that in a dream, I think it's easily to dismiss a dream. I had dreams this morning, and believe me, you don't want to know what they were about. Tell you the truth, I can't really remember what they were about, but they're not going to change my life. And it's really easy to dismiss a dream. But Mary doesn't have a dream. She has a vision. A vision she can interact with, and she interacts with the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel says to Mary, that you are a favored woman of God, and the Lord is with you. And it says, according to Luke, that Mary is perplexed. I've heard another version that she is terrified. But the angel says to her, do not be afraid. Again, notice how similar. The message of the angel seems to continually be, don't be afraid. To take Mary as your wife. And because the child to be born with her is of the Holy Spirit. And Mary asks, you know, how it's going to be. And so he explains that this child is going to be of the Holy Spirit. And this child will be great. And you will name him Jesus. Again, what Joseph had been told by the angel. And that he will save his people. And there's this wonderful account that both in Mark's gospel, which is Joseph, in Matthew's gospel, which is Joseph, and Luke's gospel, which is Mary, they have opposite experiences, but with the same message. And to me, it's a confirmation of the Spirit. It's an opportunity for somebody who questions whether or not, did this really happen to me? Is this really of God? Is the decision that I made of God? Or is it my own doing? Is it something that I'm thinking of myself as opposed to God inspiring me to think this way? Don't we all want to have the answer to the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Don't we want God's will done in our life? And if so, how can we know that the decisions that we make are of God as opposed to our own fabrications? And I say, look and pay attention to the confirmations of the Spirit. Someone independently coming to you and having the same idea, the same awareness that you have, and you can be confirmed that this is something from God as opposed from our own fabrications. I can tell you that there's one very special time in my life when I had not one, but 16 confirmations of the Spirit, all for the same message. When I was a new pastor, maybe 8 years after becoming a pastor, friends of mine, Lyle and Randy Greiner, went to a wedding in Wisconsin, East and West Koshkonong Lutheran Church. What a name for a church, right? Huh? I think it was Norwegian. At officiating at this wedding that my friends went to was a man named Quentin Showalter. And they asked whether or not Quentin was a relative of mine. And I said, I have no idea. I said, my grandfather Showalter died when my father was 12 years old, so I never knew him. And my grandmother never liked any of the Showalters. So we never interacted with any Showalter relatives my whole life. And so all of a sudden I wrote a letter to this Quentin Showalter and asked if he would happen to know that we are related. And he said, not only are we related, but I am the keeper of our family tree. And he told about a 100-year anniversary book that was created in 1943 when the first relatives came from Germany in 1843. The deaths and it was out of Jackson, Wisconsin, out of North Milwaukee, and it was just an amazing account of my family's history. And he said, not only that, he said, it's not just you and I that are pastors in our family. The fact is there are 16 pastors in our family.
Wow.
So I became a pastor not knowing any of this. And yet it was a confirmation of the Spirit that I made the right choice. And believe me, that's another sermon altogether, how I actually made that choice of becoming a pastor. But the fact is that God speaks, and he also speaks in ways that are confirming when others speak. And so when God has something to say, he's going to say it with his Spirit to many different people. And when those people come together and realize that this is not just my idea, but it's God's idea because they have the same idea that I did, and the more detailed, like between the story of Matthew and Luke, the more detailed the account, the more you know, in fact, that this is God's inspiration. And I think you can see tremendous similarities between Matthew's account and Luke's account. Joseph's dream, Mary's vision, both have an angel, both had an opportunity to have this wonderful experience that was there. But one more thing. It's one thing to have a confirmation of the Spirit. It's another thing to multiply that experience. When Jesus was born, there's a third confirmation of the Spirit. Shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. Independent of Matthew and Mary, they're out in their fields. An angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shones around them. And they are filled with great fear. Common thing. And the angel said, you know, don't be afraid. For I bring you good news of a great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you, that you shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and peace to God's people on earth. The third confirmation of the Spirit. And it says that when the shepherds went and found Mary and Joseph, that Mary, they told them everything that had occurred to them, and Mary pondered these things in her heart. She was saying, confirmation of the Spirit. May God bless us all and keep our ears in tune to the workings of God's Spirit, because God has something to say to you if we would just listen. Amen.